Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I want to welcome all the visitors here. Wow, it's a full house. So this morning, I was asked to share my testimony, and I got to thinking, what does the word testimony actually mean? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and in the dictionary it says, a testimony is a true statement or story of something you have witnessed or experienced. It's affirmed to be true. You can't have a testimony if you've not experienced it. If you've never been to Niagara Falls, you can't say you've been there. But this morning, I can testify of a work God has done in my life. And it is true. So, in Revelation 12:11, it says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Did they not love their lives so much as to shrink from death? So I'm going to be reading my testimony, so I'll be looking down a lot, so just bear with me. So for those who might not know me, my name is Matthew Shirk, age 19, son of Nelson and Miriam Shirk. They're standing behind me. And the youngest of three siblings. I was born and raised in a godly family, and I can never thank my parents enough for all the good things I've been taught. I have lots of fond memories growing up. I was homeschooled and had mom for a wonderful teacher. So I was born with a sin nature like we all are. So naturally I started to lie and also cheating some in my school years. Growing up to my early teens, I was disrespectful to my parents and started using bad language. And around that time, I started getting into country music, which led me down the wrong road. And I'll say wrong music, it doesn't have to be country. If it's not taking you the right direction, it's taking you the wrong direction. If you're listening to music that's not taking you in the right direction, it's the end is not good. So God can deliver you from that, and he did me. I also got into some pop. It's just pop music and just kind of the worldly music. So at that point, I knew I was taking the wrong road, but I really didn't care. At least I thought I didn't. I was trying to get fulfillment, but it never came. Around age 17, Lamar gave his heart to God and told mom and dad that we were listening to music, which he would have been into it as well. And so mom and dad started asking me if I was still listening to it, and it started convicting me. And I totally quit listening to it about 3 years ago, probably. Around that same time, I was caught doing some stuff on the computer I shouldn't have. God was working, and I knew I should just surrender, but I just couldn't get myself to do it. I just liked my sin too much. August 17th of last year, Mom and Dad thought I was in an aircraft accident, which turns out must have been a satellite glitch. But they asked me if I would have been ready to die, and I wasn't. And one of the next Sundays, I believe it was the very next Sunday, if I'm not wrong, Steve preached a message on opportunity and said if we miss the opportunity to give our life to Christ, it will be forever too late. Then Monday morning, Mom and Dad asked me if I was ready to surrender, and I just pushed it off again. But I felt miserable all day, so that evening I confessed everything and gave my heart to Christ. I can say, brothers and sisters, that I have found newness of life, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I praise the Lord, I have victory in my life like never before, and a peace and a joy. So today I just want to take a little bit of time. If you're in here and you have not have victory, if you're not, you don't have peace, no joy, maybe you're struggling, I just want to say, just yield yourself to Christ and surrender and become born again and let God write your testimony. It's not, you don't have to make up a testimony. If you give your heart to Christ, he will write your testimony for you. So today I want to be baptized, and I also want to commit to the body here at Allen County Christian Fellowship. I want to live an open life and ask you if you see something in me that is a concern or leading the wrong way. I invite you to come tap me on the shoulder and talk to me, and I'll try to do the same. That's all I have. God bless.
Just a few words. My voice has left me, but very true. That night that he gave his heart, my wife and I knelt beside the bed. And we thought pretty well that we don't know what more to do for our son. But God did. That night, up in his bed, he couldn't go to sleep. When we gave it up, he came. And that is our life. We're people who need to be given up the rest of our lives into the will of God. Just a few words. I'm going to close. This is to Matthew and all of you being baptized and all of us that are in the kingdom. It's in Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. My thoughts is, if you want to listen here, like Matthew shared, the Lord will write your testimony. And if you live the Christian life, the people will call you a Christian. You don't have to call yourself a Christian. So think about that. Live the life for the Lord, and the people will call you a Christian rather than calling yourself a Christian. It's important. Lord bless you all.
Good morning, everybody. To those of you who do not know me, my name is Dwayne Loniker. My parents are Menno and Linda Loniker. I am 17 years old and the fifth child of seven siblings. Growing up, I always loved riding my pony, playing football and basketball, but as time went on, I reached the age of accountability and began making bad decisions. I was disrespectful to my parents and I always resisted authority. I didn't like anybody telling me what to do. And as time went on, my heart just got harder and harder. I became prideful, bitter. I cheated in school a little bit. I started listening to very ungodly music. I had terrible language, and I started having a bad thought life. I watched bad movies. I played bad video games and many other sins. And I also was a terrible influence to my friends. As I turned 16, the guilt and weight of my sin just really started impacting my life. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt so burdened down. I couldn't go another day, I felt like. But I knew what I needed to do, but I couldn't just go to my parents. I was, the devil had his grip on me. But one Sunday on December 17th, 2023, we went to Concord for church, and Josh and Diana had the opening on lost souls, and Sally had a message on being born again. And I never felt so convicted in my entire life. And that evening, I felt God calling me, and praise the Lord, I answered. I confessed my sins to my parents and all of the peace and relief I felt that night. As it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it isn't just for me, it's for all of us in here today. And God, since my conversion, God has helped me overcome my bad language, hatred, bitterness, and just being a bad influence to others and many other things. He's helped me overcome, and he's still helping me overcome things. As it says in Philippians 6:1, being confident of this very thing, which he that hath began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I also would like to commit to the body of Allen County Christian Fellowship here. I want to open my life up to you all. If you guys see something in me that's not lining up with the Bible, I pray that you come talk to me. And I pray that my heart is that I could do that likewise. God bless you all.
Well, good morning, everybody. First off, I want to thank my immediate family and everyone that I see here to share this day with us. It's quite something to witness the change that I witnessed in my boy's life. I woke up this morning. There's a lot of things went through my mind of things that happened. Most of you people sitting in here wouldn't remember what would have happened 33 years ago this weekend. But I woke up and I thought of that, and I thought of my son, and just thought of all the people that are going to be here today. And you know, we're all without excuse if we don't do what they did. So I'll just close and say that, yeah, I have witnessed a changed life in my son. And please pray for us that we can continue being a witness to him, to keep him walking down the road to Christ. But I'll just close with a Bible verse. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And yeah, I can witness that Dwayne's life has become new. So praise the Lord.
Greeting in Jesus' precious name. For those of you that don't know me, I am Rebecca Eicher. I'm 20 years old, and I'm blessed to be the daughter of godly parents of Henry and Loretta Eicher. I have 11 siblings, and I'm in the middle of those 11 siblings. And I was born with a sin nature. I was very disobedient, disrespectful to my parents, and siblings. I had pride, self-pity, unpure thoughts, unkind words, cursing, and lying. I became bitter and disliked the word authority. I also disliked bedtime as it gave me too much time to think. One night in August of 2022, I came to the realization my life was doomed and I had no peace within. As I was pondering that, a voice within said, you're never going to make a Christian, you're just going to fail. Another peaceful voice was calling, come as you are. I remembered often my parents speaking of realizing we're sinners and come to Christ. But my fear was I would not stand strong. I felt weak and small. But I knew what I wanted, so I obeyed that still small voice and confessed my sins. I had peace and joy fill my soul. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I desire to respect and obey my parents and others. Life looks so much different. I realize Christ gives me the strength I need to overcome my weaknesses. And after forgiving those that I held bitterness toward, I release myself from that grip of bitterness. Matthew 6:15 says, for if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Pray for me as I continue in this life, striving to follow my Savior, example, and reach my heavenly home. Also, a verse I really like is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God bless you.
I greet you all in the name of Jesus, the reason we're here this today, and just really blessed to have Rebecca accept Jesus as her Savior. And I just got a couple verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, starting with verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. And that's for each one of us. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Abigail Graber, and I am 15 years old. My parents are Daniel and Loretta Graber, and I have 9 siblings. Before I was born again, I struggled with lying, anger, disrespect, pride, and was not kind to my siblings. I knew I was a sinner, but I kept pushing it off. Since September 13 of 2023, I finally came to the end of myself. Mom came into my room, and I repented of my sins and asked Jesus into my heart and saved me. And I believe that he forgave me for all that I did wrong. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. I have much to learn, and I want to do that by God's grace. I want to forget about the past and press toward the mark of the high calling of God, as it says in Philippians 3:14. I desire a believer's baptism today. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Some of my favorite Bible verses are Ephesians 2:4-9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up to sit together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would like to become a member of this local body of Christ, and if you see anything in my life that is not pleasing, please come tell me.
Okay, well, it's really good to be gathered here with so many today. I just wanted to testify that Abigail has been a tremendous blessing in our home. We don't know quite where the last 15 years went to. She came into our home one Sunday morning back in 2009, and she has blessed our home tremendously since then. She was spared from many of the things that we were caught up with as my wife and I grew up. But still, God is faithful in showing her the need for a Savior. Abby has a very tender conscience, and that is a blessing. It can be difficult to deal with at times if it's not controlled or taken care of or trained properly. But we're thankful for that, you know. And Abby has Abby testified of dealing with her siblings, and she has two sets of little twin brothers and sisters, and she's been tried pretty hard, and it brings out that sin nature when we have big families. And Abby recognized that. God is faithful, you know. He says in John's 16:8, it says there that the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I was thankful for that verse this morning as I was thinking on that. He will convict the world of guilt, of sin, and I'm thankful that God is faithful in that. I'm also thankful that Abby testified of that verse there, that in Philippians 3:14, that we are... And Abby has expressed a desire to do that, to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we all have that calling in our lives to reach forth and to press into the kingdom. You know, it takes humility to do that. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And Abby has been a blessing in our home, and she doesn't always get the right shirts in the right closet, but she's our go-to when we need help doing things at home, and she's been very good to have with us. We're going to sing a song together as a family, and so if you guys want to come up.
And waiting in this troubled world below, that's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How we long to be with Jesus and our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet.
Good morning. This is a precious, precious opportunity that God allowed us to share our testimony. And I wanted to repeat what Matthew said about the word testimony. I had the same thoughts. What does it mean? And I thank you, Matthew, for sharing that definition of the word testimony. So I have written down my testimony here, and I'll be reading most of it. For those of you that don't know me, who I am, my name is James Whitmer, and my dear wife, Julianne. We are blessed. I was born into a family of 16 children total and had a loving father and mother. We lived on a farm and milked cows until I was out of school, so I always had a lot of chores to do. It kept me busy, but it didn't always keep me out of trouble. But I'm very thankful for my upbringing. As I look back now, I see that I had a good upbringing according to this dark and sinful world that we live in. So I'll try to share a part of my life before I committed my life to the Lord. I'll start with my school years. I loved school for the most part. Cheating and lying became part of my life, and many impure thoughts and actions took control of my life. Then I'll move to, then at the age of 16, is when I started to join the youth group and took on more sins such as drinking, smoking. And cursing and swearing, but it never made me feel good. And I did it mostly because of my peers. And then I remember thinking, when I get baptized, I'll confess all my sins and truly repent. But when that time came, nothing changed. I continued in my sins. I would live my life for the weekends. I always wanted to do better and live a better life. But I just couldn't make it happen because I was doing it on my own strength. I realized it later. So I thought again, if I would get a girlfriend, I could straighten out my life and wouldn't have so many temptations to deal with. But that didn't work either. Only to know more temptations were added. We did not have a pure courtship. Weekend after weekend, I looked forward to meeting my girlfriend. I lived life to the fullest. We went to lakes, skiing, movies, and so forth. Then one Sunday night, we were on the way home from a singing, and there was a bad accident on 37 in Notstein. So we drove up there and saw a sight. We were one of the first ones there, and there were people laying all over the road. It was very devastating to us, realizing now that we were partaking in the same sins with them that very same afternoon. I remember going home to my girlfriend's that night, and we cried a lot together that night, knowing that if that would have been us, hell would have been our destiny. And when I think of this scripture, when I came to the light, and it's Ephesians 2, 4. And it starts out saying, but God. There it is. But God, who is rich in mercy. That night, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace we are saved. And by grace today we're able to stand up here. So that night, we talked about getting married and sort of made plans, thinking we could live a better life. So in 2017, we got married. So now we're married, thinking to live a victorious life. But nothing changed. I still drank and cursed like before. It was about 2 years later. It was about 2 years later than Renee was born. One night, on the changing table she laid, and the Spirit of God came down upon me and spoke into my life, asking me what kind of father I'm going to be to this precious little baby. She laid there so blamelessly and so perfect, and I thought of the verse, "We are wonderfully and fearfully and wonderfully made." I felt so not fit to be a faithful daddy to her. So I wanted to talk to someone like-minded. So I reached out to a brother. And that brother is sitting here today, and we connected spiritually and talked about the Bible. But I was in trouble. I was in trouble because we were supposed to shun these people. But at that point, I was convicted because of the things we talked about in the Bible, about being born again and knowing that you have eternal life. These things were true, but they were not a part of my life. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." This is in the Bible. It is our roadmap. It is God speaking to us. Go read it and do the utmost thing. Believe it. Colossians 2:13 says, "You," it's talking about me if I'm reading it, "you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your sins." So by this we can know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible says all this. We need to believe it. So my desire today is to be baptized into Christ's death. Acts 2:38 and 41 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's a beautiful experience. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." What a glorious thought there. Galatians 2:20. We often sing this verse as a song. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me." And with joy in my heart today, I can say today that I have experienced the forgiveness of sins in my life. I now love to sing praises unto the Lord. And when something goes wrong or don't turn out like it was supposed to, I can accept it and go on with knowing that that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So today, I would desire to be baptized upon my confession of faith and commit to the local body of Allen County Christian Fellowship. And last of all, many of us say this, but I say it from the depths of my heart. If anyone sees me straying from God's holy word, please come and speak into my life. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Julie Whitmer. I've had 7 wonderful years of marriage to my dear husband, James. We have 3 young children, which has been a great blessing in our lives. I grew up in a home with 1 brother and 4 sisters. Myself being in the center of these 4, I have many fond memories of my home life that I owe immensely to my dear parents. They protected me from lots of corrupt things I am so thankful I did not need to experience. I didn't realize that time how sheltered I was from all the unrighteousness that took place around me. I thank God daily for the guidance my dear parents gave me. As a young child, I had a very sensitive conscience, probably better stated, oversensitive. I would share something, then would think back what I said or did and worried I didn't say it quite right, so would apologize for not saying the truth. More than once, my parents came to my room at night because I was troubled and crying. We would talk about it, then I always felt better, would fall asleep feeling better because they knew my worries and I knew they loved me. Not realizing at that time, I would say now, it was the Holy Spirit working in my life to be born again. I would have been 10, 11, 12 years, somewhere in there. Up to the 16 years old, I was very conscious of right and wrong. I chose to go to a youth group that I thought was clean and had Sunday night singings. But there were immoral things that went on there that at first I didn't want anything to do with it, but was soon trying it out and enjoying the drinking and parties. We thought we were hiding from everyone, but by that time I was contributing to the sin and pushing back the nudging of my conscience. We started a courtship right before my 17th birthday. I realized now I was very immature. At that point, my parents wanted us to have a pre-courtship, and that was my desire also, but my high standards continued to fall flat. We fell into immorality again and again. We had no victory over our sins. Right before we started our courtship, I got baptized in the Old Order Amish Church. I appreciate the teachings I got as I went through the 18 articles of faith, as is the custom to go through before baptism. The 6th, 7th, and 8th one talked, and it taught on repentance and amendment of life, that we were to bring forth genuine fruits of repentance, believe the gospel, depart from evil, forsake sin, put off the old man, put on the new, and that all penitent believers who through faith, the new birth, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit are united with God and must upon such scriptural confession of faith be baptized with water in the most worthy name. And it's acknowledged that the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy people are those who truly repent, rightly believe, and are rightly baptized, and have been rightly incorporated into the fellowship of the saints here on earth. So I foolishly threw all those warnings on the back burner and continued my life as it was, desiring to be holy but having no power to reach that goal. After 5 years of courtship, we got married. We were excited, thinking we'd start back over and lead a good life, but it didn't work that way. Sin doesn't just leave. Our get-togethers were with other young couples brought drinking and foolishness into the circle. We would get home late at night with an empty feeling of a wasted night, knowing we did or said nothing to glorify God. Our first child had a big impact in our life. My husband started being convicted of his actions, which I was so thankful for. He reached out to some brothers and started asking questions, which I was not so excited about. We were supposed to shun those people, and now my husband was getting encouragement from them. I liked the change in him, but didn't want him to know it. I was scared. This was too much. The year 2019, he attended men's leadership in Bern. I stayed home and cried a lot of the day. We didn't talk much about his day, but I could see a joy in his eyes when he got home. I knew he was getting taught the Bible, and I wanted that, but continued pushing back silently. We were hearing messages and prayer, and we were being convicted of just truly pouring our hearts out to God, heart to heart, rather than using another man's words from a prayer book. There are many wonderful prayers in the prayer book, but we realize God wants to hear what's in our heart. My husband started praying, and I continued to just silently listen. So at that point, we weren't drinking, partying, living immoral lives. My life I was living was right according to the church rules, but I know just because I looked right on the outside, I did and said all the right things, I was still a sinner, and I needed the Lord to have full control of my life. I started praying and confessing things. Maybe it was just some bad thoughts towards someone, but I started feeling more filled and able to be joyful. I now enjoy reading the scriptures and have a desire to learn more in a deeper way. I always did love my husband and children, but it seems to be now in a deeper, more sincere way. My desire is to to support my husband more rather than trying to control and make the decisions. I have new desires and thoughts. I desire to live a life pleasing to the Lord and in a way others can see Christ shining through me. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This day I desire to have a believer's baptism and would like to commit to this local body at Allen County Christian Fellowship and want to be an upbuilding member. I open my life to each of you and ask that you would please speak into my life if you see I am living contrary to God's word in any way. Continue to pray for us as a family as we continue to grow in his grace.
Yeah, we also have a song that we would like to sing. But before we sing the song, there's a story I would like to relate to you that kind of goes with this song. And after this story, I would like for my children to come forth. So it was at fall time of the year. We had I wanted to spread some fertilizer on my fields for the winter, and the fertilizer came in a fertilizer spreader with a double axle with those big flotation tires, and I hooked it up to the cart. And as some of you may know, that if you hook it on the top, it'll tip the cart too much. So I had it hooked on the lower portion, so where it doesn't tip the cart so much. And I had four horses hooked up to it, and my dear wife and children were out there with me, helping me. And Renee was standing on the cart, and my wife was holding Abram in front of the horses, watching the horses. So I went to open the gates so I could go down the woods lane back to the field. And while I was opening the gates, there was some other horses that ran out in the field, and it spooked the four horses that were on the cart. And they started walking, and my wife couldn't stop them. And she hollered at me, and I looked back, and they was starting to run. And I saw that she was backing up with Abram in her hand. She was in front of the horses in a very bad situation. And I just remember running towards those horses and praying, Lord, have mercy. And I got about 30 foot from her, and she fell flat. And the four horses went across her, and she went under the hitch, which was about 13 inches off the ground. And how can anyone go under through that, not get drugged, and with 5 ton of fertilizer behind all that, and go right between the wheels? And there it was again, but God, who's rich in mercy. I go back to there. And after I got the thing stopped, the horses stopped, this is the song that came to me. I stood amazed. Come forth. We'll sing the first three verses, and I would like for the rest of you to help in the last two verses. It's song number 290.
Song shall ever be. in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine.
Good morning to everyone. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here today. And we stand here today to testify of what Christ has done in my life through the shed blood and has freed me from the bondage of many sins. A few that I just wrote down behind that was including pride, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, adultery, fornication, and hypocrisy, to name a few. And none of this to which much sorrow and grief. open with a verse. 1 Peter 3, 15. And through all of this, we've had a lot of talks with a lot of people, and some would feel that a testimony is just a bunch of good words and isn't necessary. But as I found this verse in Peter, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And what other way than through the testimony of what Christ has done in your life? For introduction, those of you that don't know me, I'm Irvin Graber, 29 years old, 30 in a few days. I'm happily married to the love of my life for 9 years now, and the Lord has blessed us with five precious children. And Lord willing, six in a few weeks. I was raised by a very, very caring and loving dad and mom. I had three other brothers. I was the youngest of the family. And I had a mother that truly cared for her boys and prayed for us a lot. And still does today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my dad and mom to still have both of them and have their love and support through our journey. And from a young child, I was taught right from wrong, and knew the things, and I would say I was overconscious of many things. I went to mom with all of my struggles, and but for some reason, I guess the reason of the nature of sin in us, as I got older, it was harder to share those things. So I started to just harbor them up inside. And as a young teen in school, those things just got worse, with lying and cheating and relationships with girls, and I had I was a very proud young man. I was always seeking the attention of others. And then as I went through school, those things just became worse. Those relationships led to more than just talking as it led into my teen years, nothing changed. I continued to harden my heart and I had everyone fooled on the outside, or so I thought. I'd done the right things, I said the right things, I looked right. But inside, I was full of sin. And then at the age of about 17, me and Dolores started dating. With many struggles and trials along the way, with one of my struggles always seeking the attention of other girls. And as we know today now, and as many know, that Your girlfriend or your wife desires your affection and only you for them. As that seems to be maybe a lot harder for girls. So there was a lot of struggles and a lot of hard times. So at the age of 20, we decided that marriage would fix these things, and it did temporarily. we still had our ups and downs, but we had a good marriage, and we had a lot of fond memories and loved each other, and it was good, but it didn't fix it. And that was over the time of when phones came around, a lot more open. We never had those before, smartphones especially. And I fell into the sin of watching movies all the time, basketball games, just anything. I was addicted to it, and I couldn't break it. And I also had the love of basketball. I any chance I got, I was leaving nights and playing basketball, and there was times that she went with me, but she still wasn't with me. I was having fun. I was fulfilling my lusts, my desires. But that is not right. It's and then the wedge was just getting drove further between us as I continued to, or as Dolores continued to try to grow closer with me and with Christ, but not taking heed. I continued to please my flesh, and again I fell and had relationships with other girls via phone and text, nothing, no personal, but it continued on. It was a few years later I started my new job at the trailer factory up in Butler. Whereas we would know, we have no power over sin. I fell into the great sin of adultery. Lived that secret life for a few months. I knew in my heart that it wasn't right, but I had no strength or victory, as Satan had a grip on my soul. Until that fateful day, when my wife called me at work to ask if the rumor she was hearing was true, my heart sank to the floor. My world fell apart. The next few weeks was like a bad dream. I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted it to go away. But God continued to knock. And one night, after crying for a few hours, restless nights, many restless nights in bed, laying there crying, I asked Dolores if she wanted to talk. When I already knew the answer, many, many weeks ago. And we confessed all of our secrets and our sins to each other and laid there and just cried in each other's arms. Asked Jesus to forgive us of all our sins, and we laid them at his feet. I can't begin to explain the joy and the freedom that the Lord granted us instantly after confessing our sins to him and to each other. I would like to take the little bit of time to say that if there's someone here holding on to any little thing, it doesn't have to be this great sin, anything that God would call sin, it's not worth it. Don't let them continue to grow and turn into these things, because sin will take you farther than you want to go. And as we had just started on our journey after that, we started a Bible study with a few brothers that are sitting here today that I'm very grateful for, and grew very close to you guys all. As we started our journey, we started a Bible study, and we was happy. We was free. We was enjoying our time together. As I shared with someone that kind of had these same struggles just a few weeks ago here, that the joy that you and your wife and children can have, no man can fake that. It only comes from Christ. There's no fake in that. It's a true joy that only He can give us. It was shortly after all of this had taken place. Our daughter Alyssa was diagnosed with Rett syndrome, and we was told that she would never talk again and eventually be in a wheelchair. I ask, why, God? I struggled with that, with the feeling of that I was being punished for my sins, and it was a hard few weeks until, through continued prayer and confiding in some brothers, that I was able to overcome that and be assured that that wasn't the case. And I have some verses in Romans 5 that go with that. Romans 5 verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And through Alyssa, God has drawn us closer to Him and to our family. We're very blessed to have all of our children, but especially her, as she takes special care and Phil was putting our home to help us to grow. So we thank God for her today, and I treasure every moment with her, and can say I don't have those thoughts anymore, and I'm praise God for that. I think I'll bring it to a close. I feel I maybe left many details out, and it would be my desire to be open if someone else has any questions or any concerns. But through Jesus' shed blood, I can testify that I'm free of all those sins, and just my desire to take on a believer's baptism and become a member in the Church of Christ here at Allen County Christian Fellowship. We desire your prayers as we continue on this journey. And then I have a few verses in closing. Romans 6, verses 6 through 23. Knowing this, that your old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to the righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto the holiness and the end everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I think that's all I have, and just continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Greetings to each of you in Jesus' holy name. With a thankful heart towards our Lord for his great mercy and faithfulness, today I would like to testify that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. My name's Dolores, and I'm also 29 years old. Today I'll proclaim that I'm joyfully married to my heart's dearest, and together we share 5 special children. I'll just start as a young girl. I was very blessed to have had concerned parents that taught the Bible in our home, and I'm sure that many prayers were interceded on my behalf. Knowing about Jesus, I had a desire to willingly try to serve him at first, but as time went on, I developed some bad habits, which didn't get any better the older I got. During my school years, I was soon caught up with cheating, lying, and mocking, and in my upper grades, I even became involved with boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, also with alcohol. After graduation, I lost some connection with those things, and while choosing new friends, I decided to join a singing youth group. We enjoyed many clean activities and made lots of precious memories. Only 6 months after being with the group, Irvin and I started a friendship. Although we desired a pure relationship or talked about a hands-off courtship, our flesh was much stronger. For the next 4 years, we failed attempts to stay pure again and again. I longed to keep fighting for it, and I buried myself in prayer, pouring my heart out to God in a journal. Occasionally, we had victory, and we even reached a point of starting to have devotions together. So then we came to the conclusion that marriage would be the end of these struggles. So we joined hands at the age of 20. Marriage indeed was wonderful. We enjoyed each other's friendships, and we dearly loved our children that soon joined us. But with that, our schedules began to change, and I started to feel somewhat alone with the responsibility of raising little ones, as my husband spent many hours engaged in screen time. It was in the early spring of 2021 when I became aware of a strange behavior change in my husband. A heaviness or a brokenness, I couldn't place just what was going on, but one thing I knew was that it wasn't normal for my husband to sit around crying, to pick up his Bible and read for long periods at a time. He was also paying so much extra attention to the children and I. I begged for him to confide in me his feelings, but he remained reserved. I began surmising it was work-related, as his plans were to transition from his current job to starting his own business just shortly, but I couldn't understand why he wasn't excited about it like he had previously been. A few months went by, and one day after the job change, someone came to me with a story that was going around about my husband. They wondered if it was true. I was completely overtaken by this statement, but not in complete denial. After a little bit, I decided I would call him. I told him who relayed the message and what they said and asked if he knew anything about it. The next few moments were silent. My heart sank, and for the sake of our children, I went to the nearest room and closed the door before falling apart. The next several weeks and months blend together, and one particular evening, while Irvin and I were out in the barn, a vehicle pulled in. He shared a greeting with us and let us know he heard about us and offered to pray. He also kindly offered counseling advice, but we declined. We weren't open to sharing our feelings with someone else, and we chose to confide in each other instead. It was because of my husband's remorse and with the strength from the Lord that I chose to forgive him. And along with my husband, I surrendered my will and my ways to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." That's where we found our peace and comfort, confiding and pouring out to each other. We began to cherish searching the scriptures together, and after a few months of walking this new way of life together, we were out biking one summer Sunday afternoon. We met up with some cousins and stopped to chat along the road. Through our short visit, they expressed a desire to live a different way also. They wondered what we thought about starting to get together and study the Bible. We were excited and inspired. It was just what we needed. A short time later, it was planned, and today we still find it as a true blessing. Although we may not understand everything the Lord allows to happen in our lives, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus and that his grace is sufficient for me and his strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So desiring to press onward in our Christian journey, we plan to partake in a believer's baptism today and become members in this Church of Christ here at Allen County Christian Fellowship. To leave you with an encouragement, I'll read Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. God bless you.
It was by request of both Irvin's and Dennis's that we sing number 676 at this point. Maybe we could stand to sing this, and then after verse 5, we'll sing the familiar Praise God. Ooh, ooh. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now how precious dear. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning to each and every one of you. I want to greet you guys all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The reason we are able to stand behind her today. I want to start off by reading a few verses in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, through now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Dennis Schmucker, the husband of my dear wife, Julie, and the daddy of three beautiful blessings from our Lord and Savior. I was born on 5/7/96 in a very loving, hardworking family of 10 children that have been taught right from wrong. I have many fond memories of my childhood years. Unfortunately, my innocence came to an end at a very young age when Satan got a grip of my life. Lying, cheating, mocking, cursing, pride, stealing, all became part of my life, and not long followed the next part of my life after seeing something I shouldn't have. It sparked my interest in that area of my life, and before I knew it, Satan had a stronger grip of me, and I became involved with immoral activities. At the age of 12 to 13, I got introduced to pornography and lasciviousness, and that became a very dark place in my life. I can't thank Jesus Christ enough for freeing me from that. I got a hold of alcohol and tobacco use at 14 to 15, and that helped me with my selfish decision I made to join a group that was involved in parties. I joined the group and became very rebellious and bitter at my parents. I had no desire to go to church, and every time they would talk to me, I threw slanders at him and cursed and sweared and everything that is not of God. They would plead with me every weekend to go to a different group or stay home. But the more they pled, the more I argued and rebelled. Often I would pretend to stay home, but sneak out of an upstairs window. And that caused me to lie about it. I continued in my wicked state, and that's where my That's where I met my wife of today. And again, Satan got a hold of me through an impure relationship. So we dated for 4 years, continuing in our wicked state, and seemed to start drifting apart from each other. So we decided to get married, thinking that would help. But it only got worse. We didn't get along. So it made me want to work late and not be around my wife. It felt like our house was miles long, with me on one end and my wife on the other. During that time, our first child was born, and that made me think a little about my life. But before long, it was back to our normal way of living. We started talking about changing our lives and ended up moving out of the community for a year, only to find out that it wasn't working out, and that's when we moved to Hicksville, where we live now. Our life is still the same, and my selfish actions got me to texting other women and involved in drugs for a little. That lasted until my wife found it on my phone. During that time, we had our two other children. And after they were born, I became very frustrated and angry, and I looked at them as a nuisance. Everything they did, I would grumble at them, and instead of being loving. But thanks to God, now I look at them as olive plants, and our house is a lot smaller because we opened our door to Jesus Christ. This leads up to July of 28th, 2023, when I had an accident with my hand. I had a firework accident with my hand, and that got me thinking with the unbearable pain I had in my hand, there was no way I would be able to spend eternity in hell. And I knew the state I was in, if I died, that's where I would go. So I had to do something about it. 3 weeks after my hand accident, I had an uncle that got killed. And then not long after that, I had a niece that died. I knew God was trying to tell me something, but I kept trying to shrug it off. I thought about it for a little bit, and then it ended up going back to how my life was before. Finally, in December of 23, we started really reading the Word of God and trying to apply it to our lives. And since then we never quit. In 2024, in the spring of 2024, I went to a men's leadership in Bern. After that, I kept being convicted and felt the need to come to the foot of the cross. So I fell to my knees and I pled out. And the next week we went to a dear brother and a sister's house and confessed our sins and prayed together. after that, there was something in my life. There was something, the way I felt, that was so amazing. I felt like I went from 200 pounds to 10 pounds. And today I want to testify of my dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who purged me from all the wickedness of this world and brought me to the walking in the newness of life. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. My desire is to be an example of Jesus Christ and allow him to continue taking me towards perfection, and someday hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Upon this testimony, I desire a believer's baptism and would like to commit to and become an upbuilding and faithful and submissive brother in this local body of Christ, Allen County Christian Fellowship. And if anyone sees something in my life that does not align with the Word of God, please come talk to me. And I just ask that you guys continue to pray for us as we endeavor to give God the liberty to control our lives and continue seeking toward perfection.
I want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For those of you who do not know me, I am Julie Schmucker. I am 27 years old. I am the wife of Dennis Schmucker. We are blessed to have three little boys, Liam, 6, Luca, 4, Lane, 9.5 months old, who I love dearly. I am the daughter of Enos and Luann Hilty. I have 1 sister and 5 brothers. I grew up in a family that loved me. My parents taught me right from wrong and also about God. My dad would often read his Bible. Where's my note? Before I was born again, I have lusted, lied, cheated, rebelled, mocked, got angry, cursed, wore immodest clothing. I had impure thoughts, lasciviousness, impatience, covetous, adultery, pride, jealousy, hatred, gossiping, fornication, and ungodly music. I'm going to start in my school years. Me and my friend from school had decided we both wanted to go to a godly youth group. Deep in my heart, I had a longing to live for Jesus. I wanted to do what was right. But once we graduated and drifted apart, I started thinking more like, what is the point of going to a different youth group? In my carnal mind, I thought, the Bible says we all sin. The singing group would have been the better option, but that's not what I chose. I abstained from alcohol for a few weekends, and I remember thinking that first night, what is wrong with these people? But once I started using alcohol, I was with the crazy people. I often felt very convicted, but I had no power over sin. I had turned 16 in March, and by May I had a boyfriend. He is my husband today. He knew my desire for a pure courtship, but again, I had no power over sin. I got baptized at the age of 18 in a very unconverted state of mind and kept right on doing all my sinful habits. I was always depressed and knew that what I was doing was wrong. And if Jesus would come back, I would go to hell. But I continued anyhow. I had a lot of sleepless nights. Me and Dennis's relationship was very rocky at this time, so we decided we would be married. This would fix all of our problems. We got married in 2017, and our problems only got worse. In 2018, we were blessed with Liam. That is what sparked a little fire in us. We stopped our party life, but there was one thing I wasn't willing to give up yet, and that was movies. We attended Hicksville Amish Church for around 5 years. During those 5 years, we would really get into reading God's Word, but it wouldn't last long. It seems every time we did this, we dug ourselves a deeper hole. Our marriage was in shambles. We were divorced in heart. I was told I had depression, so they gave me depression pills. I was very suicidal. I was depressed beyond imagination. I felt as if I could have died and no one else around me would have realized I was gone. I was in the grips of Satan. I was being deceived. I also spent my days watching movies. I couldn't go one day without watching a movie. Fast forward to July 2023, Dennis had a firework go off in his hand. Everyone started screaming. They said Dennis was hurt. My mind went to the worst. I thought if I never got to tell him, I'm sorry for everything. Also, I had thought if he's dead, where would he spend eternity? But God gave us another chance. He had mercy on us. On the way to the hospital, we told each other we were done living in sin. But it wasn't but a few months later, we were back to living exactly as we were. December and January, where the Lord really started working in our lives, I started surrendering my life to Jesus and repenting of my sins and realized this time was different. I now had victory over sin. My desire to watch movies was gone. My depression was gone. Our marriage was changing. Life seemed different. Jesus was working in our lives. But I felt I didn't have a full peace, so I confessed to a brother and sister, and afterwards I had peace. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I testify of Jesus and the work he has been doing in our lives. I believe he died on the cross for my sins and was also resurrected. I now have a godly vision for my family. John 15, 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We have also renounced witchcraft, divination, and reflexology in the name of Jesus Christ. I desire to have a believer's baptism. I would also like to be an upholding and faithful sister here at Allen County Christian Fellowship. If you see me doing anything that doesn't line up with Scripture, come talk to me. And I would also like to say that I'm not blaming my faults on anyone besides myself. I made the choices. No one else did. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion of the day of Jesus Christ. God bless you all.
God bless each and every one of you.
Hello, everyone. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is higher than any other name, a name that we should want to sing praises to and want to worship. A couple opening verses, Philippians 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I'll let Melinda share her testimony, then I'll share mine.
Hello, everyone. It's exciting to be up here, yet it's very, very nerve-wracking. So I am very sorry if I start rambling on. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8. My name is Melinda. I am 28 years old. Arlen is my husband. I have been blessed to be married by his side. I was raised by Sam and Becky Schmucker with a family of seven brothers. I was the only sister. And I have a lot of good memories, and some are good and some are bad. But overall, I have been very blessed to have them as my parents. As a little girl, I was often selfish, and often, regardless of what my parents told me, I thought I knew best. But little did I know that God's ways were perfect. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. In my early teens, I read a lot of books, but unfortunately, it was not much of the Bible. We read as a family, but not just for personal devotions. Arlen and I started dating at the young age of 16. Our relationship went from bad to worse throughout our years. It seemed that we could just never agree on anything. As my husband will also say, sin has many consequences. After many mistaken choices in my life, we were married on November 7th of 2014. We lived in a very short period of the honeymoon phase, maybe. On April 1st of 2015, we were blessed with Trevor Logan, and he kept my days filled with love and smiles. We lived with my parents for a little over a year, and then Arlen had expressed his desires to have his own space, and I thought, yeah, that was just silly. We lived with my parents, and it was okay. But we did end up finishing off Grandpa's basement, and we loved it. We cherished our time over there very much. I feel like we did grow closer as a family. Over time, our weekends were filled with alcohol and foolish talking, and Arlen would come home and be very incapable of caring for the children or praying the evening prayer. And when I say incapable, I don't always mean intoxicated, but maybe just not feeling good. And I didn't always understand of why you would continue doing that when it didn't make you feel good. And I believe the more I nagged on him, the worse it was. And of course, it caused arguments and a lot of silence in our marriage. And therefore, it started ill feelings inside of me. I would get very easily offended. In 2017, Arlen wanted to start his trust business, and I just didn't want it. I was very selfish. But his mother offered to help get started. She loaned him the money and the space to get started, too. We got married very young, so therefore, we didn't have much of a savings account. The money we had saved up, we used to finish the basement, and that didn't leave us with much left. My worry for money in the future started consuming me. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. But I continued worrying anyway, and I put a guilt trip on my husband many times. I always thought if I had just a little more money, I think I would be content. 1 Timothy 6:10 states, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So more times than not, I was upset at Arlen for only trying to do something with his business. But in 2021, I started feeling alone and empty. I started searching and found I didn't need to be empty or alone.
God was there. He was knocking at my door, just waiting to come in my heart. I started talking with some friends, and they shared what Jesus was doing in their lives and how I desired that. Arlen was not open to this idea, although he did listen when I shared something to him. I continued in prayer and reading my Bible faithfully. Our God is a gracious God. I struggled with submission in my life as well. If I couldn't commit to my husband by letting him lead out in the home, respecting him and his decisions, trusting him, humbly sharing my opinion but not stating it, building him up instead of tearing him down, how am I able to submit to our Father in heaven? Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Lord has done many things in our life. We have, since then, we've joined a Bible study with some very, very dear sisters and brothers that are here today. I was convicted of much sin of my life. I have found my very own best friend who loves me for who I am. I feel our marriage has only begun. When I repented and was convicted of willingly being under submission to Arlen, as I am submitted to the Lord in heaven, things seem to be much peaceful. I have been enlightened that no matter how hard we try to control things, it's impossible. He is wherever we need him. He will handle all things through prayer. God has showed me what true love looks like in a marriage and a family. He has taught me patience on a whole new level, and he is still teaching me. Today, I can say our marriage is bound with three strands as God in the middle cord. Through this all, God has blessed us with three other children, Corbin Luke, 5 years old, Madison Joy, 3 years old, and Emery Jolene at 8 months. I do ask for prayers, as I know God is not done yet. Our story is still being written, but I do know God is faithful, and he will be beside us every step of the way. At this time, I do desire to have a believer's baptism, and I also would like to commit to this local body and being an upbuilding member at Allen County Christian Fellowship. And I do ask, as a sister, that if anyone see anything in my life, please come to me.
So bear with me. I will try, and I'll be looking down a lot, and I have a tendency to go fast. My wife told me that I need to slow down, so, but I see the time is running out, so I will try, and I'll be looking down a lot, and I'll try and share. And what I am going to share is probably nothing new to a lot of you, but a little about me. Most of you know me. I'm Arlen Drod, 29 years old. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Melinda. We have 4 children. My mother is Fanny. My dad's name was Jonas. I was in a family of 3 children. I was the oldest of the 3, a brother and a sister younger than me. My father died when I was 7, so I grew up life without knowing of a dad. But my grandfather, he took the role of that. He was there for us. They have taught me a lot of good things in life. We was a close family for the most part. The day our youngest daughter died was the day we laid Grandpa to rest. Our daughter was born. It is the day that he went into eternity. With that being said, I'm thankful today that we have a heavenly Father that can give us more than our earthly father can. His reward for doing his will is far greater. Matthew 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. James 5, verse 12, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. You guys can go home and read it, but Colossians 3, verses 5 through 15, that kind of explains your life before and your life prior to conversion. Sin is sin, no matter the size, it is wrong. I can say that I have sinned, confessed my faults, and I believe that Jesus forgave them and I can take my seat. But I will share a little bit on my life. A little on my life, I was exposed to sin at a very young age. In school, I did a lot of cheating. I believe lusting after women came at a very young age in my life. It started way back in school that everyone teased everyone about liking someone. The older I got, the lust got worse. So I needed something to take that lust. As you all know, there are sources that take it only for a season. I do not have a lot of childhood memories, and of my dad are very few. But there is one that had consequences, and I do remember it. It was one day Mom went to the store to a local store over here on Roberts Road. It was Danny Graber's, used to be, and my dad was still living at this time. So we went, and there was a pocket knife there, and I really wanted to have this pocket knife, and she said, no, we're not getting it. Well, I didn't want to take no for an answer, as I was rebellious, so she was in the next aisle. She was getting ready to check out, and a thought came to me that I will just stick this pocket knife in my pocket, and she'll never know. Well, I did that. We left, never paid for the knife, and when I got home, our upstairs was unfinished, and it had a slide-up window on top of that seal. I put it up there. Mom probably thought it was strange that I went up there and put that knife up there, but every now and then I would go up and play with it, and she didn't know about it. But then she came and brought the knife to me and asked me, where'd I get this from? My heart fell to the floor because I knew that it was wrong. She said, when Dad gets home, there will be consequences. So, well, when Dad got home, he took care of it. But the hardest thing was that he told me we are going to go back and we need to apologize and say sorry to them for stealing this knife. And that was probably the hardest part. But then as I was thinking of that, I marvel at, I knew how to steal back then. No one taught me how to steal, but yet I had it all figured out. I was just marveling at how sin works. In my youth days, I needed to fit in. I went to a youth group I should never have went. The stuff that went on was ungodly. Then in 2012, me and Melinda started our relationship. So our relationship was not prayed about. In that case, how was it going to stay pure? Satan had ruled my entire life. Why would he not rule now? So yes, Satan won again. Our relationship was impure, and we disagreed a lot. Our life was a mess, but somehow God seen through it all, and he had a plan, just like he does today yet. We need to have faith and believe on him. Then in 2014, we got married at a young age because sin has consequences. We were married, but not in the way we are today. In 2015, Trevor was born. That gave me some responsibility, but I kept doing the things I did. And somehow, it was all going to just work out. Alcohol was a big part of my life. Everywhere we went, I thought we needed to have it. And I know I talk a lot about alcohol here, but there was other things in my life, but this is something that I struggled with greatly. I thought that we needed to have it. I knew my wife did not approve, but yet we kept going on. There was times that I would come home not being able to pray, not being able to help. This was a rough time in our marriage because we did not make God in full control of our marriage from the beginning. So Satan had free course. We was having a good time, so I thought. It was all done in vain. Psalms 5, verse 4 and 5. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Then in 2021, my wife did not like where we were at in life, but did not know what to do about it. I was not a leader of the home. She got to talking to some friends who at the time was searching as well. They told her about the things Jesus did for them. She started to read and shared a few things with me. I did not think that there was anything wrong with our life. I was just like everyone else's. Then one night, we got invited to a friend's house. They had stopped drinking, and I was very uncomfortable about going. I knew my wife wanted to, and I wanted to please her. I wanted to keep her happy. I had made her shed a lot of tears throughout the years. When we left that night, I had another look at life. We didn't need to drink everywhere we went. I thank my wife for all the prayers she did for me. I would not be where I am today if it was not for the love of God and the love and prayers of my wife. Then one day, my wife said, we got invited to Bible study, and right away, I said no. There was no way. Then she asked me again. I said whatever. I knew she wanted it, and I wanted to keep her happy. And that was the start of my life. My conversion happened over a period of time. I was in the office one day, and I saw my need. I didn't know what else to do. I fell to my knees, and I poured my heart out to God, repenting, confessing all my faults to him. But after that, I was observing my life. After I had poured my heart out to him, I was observing it. My foolish talk disappeared. My thoughts, they was pure. They was clean. But there was one thing that I did not repent of. And that was something that I struggled with for a long time. That was smoking. I could not quit. I went from smoking to vaping because no one could smell it. After we was going to Bible study, I thought that's still okay, but yet it convicted me. I knew I needed to quit. Someone had told me that he quit smoking. He said, I took it to the Lord, and he has quit. I thought that he was crazy. I said, there's no way. But then I was under conviction. I knew I needed to quit. And I didn't know how, but I remembered what he told me. And I took it to the Lord, and I told him to take it from me. If you can help me, to help me. And he did. The next morning, I didn't have a cigarette since. My desires have left. The same was with alcohol. That was easier to give up, but yet, yeah. So the Lord is a loving and merciful God. The peace that I had was beyond all understanding. I always felt like a nobody. I lost my dad, and we was just nobody. I wanted to be somebody. I asked my wife, but didn't really ask her about starting my business. I proposed the question to my mom, and my mom said right away, I will help and support you. Let me know what you need. So I went back and told my wife that mom said she will help me. So that was the first mistake that I made. I did not have the support of my wife. I told her that I can make a lot of money. I had the wrong vision in mind. I had the vision to be somebody. I was concerned about self, and I was concerned about the money. So I was way off, never invited God to move in, but the Lord had a plan. I realize now you don't need to be someone, and the Lord will provide for your need. Through the business, the Lord has brought us closer to him. We have lost a lot of money, but we came to a point that we was just spinning our wheels. I didn't know what to do. But I took it to the Lord. I prayed and fasted about it for some time. And the Lord opened a door, and someone came along and bought it. They just recently purchased the business, and they offered me a position as well, but we're still working through it all. It's a new step in life, but I have my trust fully in the Lord that he is going to provide. The peace that I experience today is amazing. In order to receive that peace, you have to have a surrendered heart to the Lord. We have to be willing to do his will and let him lead us. If we do not give him full rein, he cannot do his work in our lives. I thank the Lord for the work he has done in my life. Hebrews 2, verse 13, and again, I put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and my children, which God hath given me. The last 4 years have been a real struggle, but yet a tremendous blessing on showing our need. The Lord wanted more of me and less of me focusing on me. I still have a lot of need. I have let a lot of things out, but I'm open to share them in person. I know I kind of skipped through it as I'm trying to keep the time. I'm thankful for the love of God that he brought conviction upon my heart to deliver me from darkness into the light. I thank my wife greatly for praying for me. I was lost and did not know it. As I have opened my life before God and before God, my life is an open vessel before you all as well. I do desire to have a believer's baptism and to be a part of the local body. I desire to keep the vision of the church toward our Heavenly Father so he can come and get his bride. I appreciate every one of you, and thank you all for praying for us as we continue on this journey. We do ask that you continue praying for us, and we will continue praying for the local body as well. There was a song that Abby and her family sang. I had it wrote down in the bottom. As that song says, we're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes upon the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside the Savior. That's all I have. I will close with 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. I will just close with 1 John 5, verse 13, for the sake of time. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God bless you all.